This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, Series 7, Episode 7, Power Hitting. Coming up on this week's Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, we talk about hitting the ball over the ropes, power style, it's the modern way, but we also have lots of chat about other cricket things. We find out how to get more accurate with your bowling at the start of the spell, and we help an orthodox left-arm spinner who's undercutting the ball get that turn, rip, dip and bounce back again. All that and more coming up on this week's Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. Welcome to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, your guide to better cricket. That's playing it or coaching it, and doesn't matter where you are or who you are, we don't discriminate here, we just want to help you improve. And we, of course, are three cricket coaches who are doing their very best in an audio format to get across what we want to get across and help you. My name's David Hinchliffe, I look after things. And joining me from Millfield School is the Director of Cricket Coaching there, it's Mark Garraway. Hello, Garris.
How are you? Okay.
Very good. Thank you very much. Yep. Enjoying rare sunshine. So, you know, get on with it, as you say. Get out there and get on with it.
Too right. We've been outdoor netting. It's been wonderful.
Amazing. That's fabulous.
In February.
And secondly, on the line, it's Sam Lavery, who is the cricket professional at Portsmouth Grammar School. Lavers, are you? You must be getting sun at PGS. It's always sunny down there.
Yeah, of course we are. It's lovely today, actually. We've had a good couple of days. We actually had a full day of sunshine yesterday, where everyone was out in shorts and t-shirt. It was lovely. I'm not sure how long it's going to last, but it's good. It's good for now.
You make the most of it, don't you? You absolutely make the most of it. Yeah. Speaking of making the most of things, I wanted to, again, with these introductory topics, sometimes I pick some big ones, so it's very difficult to condense it down into a couple of minutes, but I was thinking about power hitting quite a lot, and where somebody starts if they have learned the game in a more traditional way, you know, they've been taught to, you know, play the straight drives and, you know, build an innings and bat through and all that kind of thing. Where do you start developing a power game with the traditional cricketer? And I know both of you, especially you, Gareth, have been doing a lot of power work over the winter. So I guess we want sort of an introductory guide, a 101 for the club player or the school player, I suppose.
Well, I think the first thing is to literally just have a go at it. And the best, I think one of the best drills that you can do is to get somebody to underarm you a couple of balls from a distance and pop it back over their heads and hit it as far as you can. And often you'll see that people either fall into two camps, one that just naturally fall into having their lower body do the things that we're now seeing on a regular basis. And in the last few days, we've obviously seen a fastest ever test 100 from Brendan McCullum. And if you go and watch that, and particularly the side-on shots that you see of the shots that he plays, the base that he gets is pretty much what you're looking to achieve when you power hit. And he decided to do it in his penultimate test match innings with great success, but he's done it throughout his whole career in whatever format. That sort of triangle down the bottom with that braced front leg and a dipped back leg is exactly what we're looking to achieve. So some people will fall into that, and other people will be, I suppose, conventional, which is where you started this question from, and will generally look to generate their power mostly from just swinging their arms harder and letting their arms do all of the work. So you'll find that some people will take to the bounce hit drill, which it doesn't get much more simple than that, fantastically, and then you don't have to do too much work with them. It's just about fine-tuning. And other people will ultimately hit with long arms, trying to generate that power from the upper body. And ultimately, we need to start figuring out how we're going to utilize the base, utilize that right hip or for a right hander, and that left hip for a left hander to generate more pace up into the hands rather than just using the arms themselves.
And Lavers, what do you see more of? Do you see more of that people getting naturally into that power hitting position, or do you see people sort of trying to do it in a more crickety way, if you see what I mean, you know?
Yeah, I think probably with our guys, they've been dying to get away from the cricket stuff for ages, really. So kind of moving into that position where that lower half's working and those hips are driving and rotating. And I guess anyone who plays any kind of golf, they're probably quite familiar with that lower body motion as well. That seems to fit in quite well. Obviously, it doesn't work for everyone, and a lot of people find immediately there's a bit of resistance to that, and then you've got to try and start explaining and teaching the movements. I've actually tried to approach it from a similar angle to the way that fast bowling would come. So if you look at some of the drills that that Stephen Jones would do or Ponty would do in terms of hip drive and breaking down the movements through tent begs, etc. The same principle can be taken into our batting, where we're just trying to separate the movements and look at identifying and illustrating that hip drive to someone. So whether you've got a batsman who's new to it or a batsman who's highly trained but maybe isn't quite familiar with the use of that lower half of the body, then that's quite a good way to introduce it to them, and then hopefully reverse chain it effectively back into one smooth action.
And how much coaching in the in the traditional sense of sort of instruction do you do with this, Gareth? How much do you find you need to?
Well, I think it's more about, and this is where I think the modern day and age is brilliant, isn't it? Where you can actually video them, show them, and then within about 5 seconds, put up some video of a world's best in this week, McCullum, up against their shape, and then they see it for themselves. And so in terms of a coaching, as long as I know what the technicalities are, actually sometimes the best thing is to show an image, isn't it? It can save a lot of airtime in terms of words from us, and often get the job done a hell of a lot quicker. So for those visual learners and also the kinesthetic learners who can look at a picture and then start to feel the associated movements, I think that works pretty well. And we've got a couple of apps here around power hitting that we use, which allow us to demonstrate exactly that. So they see themselves. They also see some pretty fine exponents of hitting a ball, whether it be a cricket ball or a baseball, a long distance, and they make those changes themselves rather than it being anything that I give them. The crucial thing is that my knowledge is underpinned in an appropriate fashion rather than theirs, really. Theirs is about doing it.
Now, the other question, I suppose, is following up from that, is that it's a great thing to try. It's super fun to have a go at. You can really commit to trying to do it. Do you ever find that people in the end decide, you know, this is just not for me? You know, there might be a way through, but I'm not going to find it. So I'm going to bat in a different way, and I'm not going to take on the power hitting.
Yeah, you get that a lot. And I think even Julian Wood has found that working with some international players, from conversations that I've had with him and the conversations that I've had with a number of the professional clubs that he's gone in and done some work, is that there has been resistance from individuals because they don't see it relevant, or probably more to the point, they found it a bit more difficult than others. And then they just bag it, which is fine. It's each one to their own, really. And I think if you're doing a session and you've got 10 people in there and five of them find that it works for them and they go with it and they want to make that an emphasis for further development, and that's great. And for the other five that say, no, I don't want to do that, the first question I'll ask is, that's great, but then how are you going to score at the same points in time that these guys are going to be trying to launch it out of the park? How are you going to go about that? How are you going to do it? Because they've got to be crystal clear that their game is sufficient to be able to score at the rates that we need in the same part of the game as the guys that can pop it out of the park. And ultimately, then you might shift the mindset or two, because that's all it is. It's a mindset. So you look at Josh Butler, he's got the capacity to play a flip and both sides of a wicket, but he's also got the capacity to launch it 100 metres down the ground, hasn't he? Now, I know that I'd be more comfortable bowling to a power hitter who's only got one way, or a ramp person that's only got one way, to somebody that can do both. If you're going to say no to it, then you've got to show me that you can do it in another way and be equally as effective in terms of strike rate and scoring ball percentage.
Would you say, Gareth, that there's a good time, especially at the professional level? Is there a better time to try and introduce this to people, bearing in mind how much consideration they're giving for their own technical game? Is there a better time or a worse time of year that you think this would be introduced for someone at an elite level?
Yeah, I mean, we've tried to do it as early in the winter as possible. And that's really to allow the different speeds of movement to come in. When I say speed of movement, in accepting that it's a way to go or to make their own decision about which is the way to go. So the temptation is that you use it just before a one-day phase or a 2020 phase. To me, that's too late because the guys who need a bit more convincing haven't got enough time between inception and doing it out in the game to actually take it on board and do anything with it. So I would get it in as early as possible. And to me, in our world, Sam, which is the Northern Hemisphere, we're looking at a September to December phase, aren't we, really, where we can introduce a new idea and people can make their own decisions. Some will go with it straight away. Others might be a bit slow burners. Other people might just say no. And then you can work at other areas that they're going to score at the appropriate rate. But yeah, so to me, it's earlier rather than later. But in the professional game, when I was involved, we would only really look at power hitting right before the T20 block. And to me, you're not going to get the exposure into enough of the players across the group for them to be able to take it all on board. Some people, like myself, I'd have just gone for it. It would have been lovely, fantastic. But equally, we all know in our teams that there are people that take a bit more convincing before they can take it on board and they need time.
I think anything new like that, if you can get it in early where it gives people the opportunity to try it, fail at it, have a few goes, maybe do it in their own time while no one's watching because they don't want to be quite so far behind the others, but they have those opportunities to try it, fail it, and also work at how it's going to fit its way into their game. That works really well, and I think that's quite an important point that people, not that they shouldn't be introducing it mid-season, but if they have the opportunity to get it in at Christmas or even before Christmas, then that works really well, I reckon.
Okay, let's wrap up this section with the yes-no round. Three questions that can only be answered yes or no, no matter how much more that the team want to say. I've got the questions, so let's get started. First question. Distraction-style drills have little benefit.
No.
Second question. There are always more singles than you think.
Yes.
Third question from Twitter. A major reason that a player falls short of their goals is that they spend their time hoping for them instead of working for them.
Yes,
correct. Yes.
Breach of protocol there. That's a level 3 breach, Gareth.
Oh no, that's yellow card, isn't it?
I've got one more offence before I get kicked off the yes-no round.
Now it's time for the question section on the show where we very simply answer the listeners' questions, or it can be questions sent in by readers to the Pitch Vision website. And what we do is we answer those questions as best we can, and then we decide on the best question of the week, which wins a prize of an online coaching course, courtesy of Pitch Vision at pitchvision.com. You can send in your questions to us by emailing coach@pitchvision.com, and we'll give you more details at the end of the show. And Nimrat is the first person who sent in a question this week. And he says, I can't deliver energy at the start of my bowling. Only when I'm in rhythm that I get energy in my deliveries. So how do I get accurate bowling at the start of my spell?
It's a great question, isn't it? Not being able to deliver energy from his delivery at the start of his bowling. And I'm going to make an assumption that we're talking about the start of a bowling spell here, Nimrat. So I think preparation is crucial, isn't it? And you've got different people that prepare in different ways. But it sounds to me as if you've got to get your body ready to bowl before it actually bowls. Whereas some people can do a few stretches, stand at the end of their mark and not too much of a problem. So, you know, it's what you do before. So if you're opening bowler, then doing some of the drills, you know, I can remember Steph Jones going back to him. He gets a couple of mentions this podcast, but he would have a medicine ball down with him at fine leg and have some TheraBands on the go. And he'd be preparing himself in Andy Caddick. If he was opening a bowl with Andy Caddick, Andy Caddick's first over, Steph would be there preparing himself down at fine leg in between balls and making sure that his body was up to speed in order to do to get that first ball right and that first over right, because you don't get another chance to bowl that one. So that was one way of doing it. He'd also go into the gym and do some work with some weights beforehand and get that that central nervous system firing as well before he went in. Now, that's somebody who's very structured and loves all that sort of stuff. And I've equally seen that not work for some people. But in your case, I think more preparation the better. I think you can help by asking the captain if he's going to bring you on for a spell, but he gives you a little bit of notice rather than just blindsiding you a little bit, because that will give you the opportunity to do some shadow bowling or to be able to get your body stretched and loose and ready to go. Then the opposite end of the extreme was Fred Flintoff, never used to do any sort of proper warm-up, and then he'd bowl two balls to mid-off. I don't know if anybody can remember this, but the first ball that he'd bowl to mid-off would go straight into the ground and through to mid-off on one bounce, and the second one he would bowl as his bowling circle went down into his bowling circle. He'd release the ball on the downswing of his bowling circle, so it would lob up in the air, and then his arm would come over with no ball in his hand, so it was like lob to mid-off, and that was his preparation. So to me, it's about prep for you, and it sounds to me anybody who needs rhythm, and some bowlers talk about rhythm more than others, anybody who needs to get up to speed needs to give themselves an appropriate amount of preparation time in order to hit the ground running when they first get going. So that would be my advice. Make sure that you're ready to go. Make sure your captain knows that you need a bit more preparation maybe than the bloke at the other end who's bowling, and then you can manage yourself more accordingly. So that would be my starting bit.
It's handy to know how long it actually takes as well. One of the things that Pitch Vision does really well is when you bowl on it, it tells you where that point is where you start feeling like you're in rhythm, because everything, you know, the ball starts coming out that little bit more quicker, and you bowl that little bit more accurate and all the rest of it. So, I mean, obviously not everyone has Pitch Vision, but whether you've got it or not, if you can find out where that point is of getting into rhythm, rather than saying, oh, well, it takes me some time, I'm not sure how long it is, it's always a bit later on, then maybe you can sort of work to push that point a little bit further forward by those preparation methods that you mentioned there, Gareth.
Absolutely, and you don't want to get to a point where you're 0-30 off two overs, and then, oh yeah, by the way, it's just about to come for me now. You know, it's a bit too late at that point, isn't it? Because the bloke's seeing it like a football, and the opposition are 45 for no wicket after not too many times of facing a ball. So, it's knowing yourself, and I think one of the great things about Pitch Vision and other ways of getting some feedback, which is what you're talking about, is that it helps us to build that self-awareness, doesn't it? And on the field, I think your wicketkeeper is crucial for that, because they'll get a sense, particularly if they're your consistent wicketkeeper, you can get some feedback from there. I also think backward point is really a good person to talk about, because they might not be watching you, but they'll be watching the batter's reaction. So, you know, if it is that 8-9 balls it takes you to get into your spell, what can you do to fast track that so you can bring that number down towards zero, really, and ideally so that your first ball is on the money and away. Another tactic, sorry, Sam's going to come in with some brilliant ones as well in a sec, but another tactic
no pressure, ladies.
That I know that a number of bowlers use, and Otis Gibson is the England fast bowling coach, he'd always run up and bowl a bumper first ball. And it was part of his method for getting his body ready. So he felt that obviously he was quick enough and strong enough to be able to bowl a bumper first ball. So he'd bowl a high bumper. He didn't even mind if it went for a wide, because that was only then going to be one run. But he'd come up and bowl a high bumper, hopefully go through for a dot ball. And by getting through his action in a hard way, hitting the pitch really hard, he felt that he was ready for the next ball really well, and he could go then into his skills or into his length or whatever the case may be. So I'll be quiet now, Sam. Sorry.
That was good. I think we've covered most things, haven't we?
Well, Lavers, I thought you were going to give us a great long list of tips and tricks there. I do have a question, though, about mindset, which you might be able to answer, which is okay. Sometimes it takes you longer than others, and sometimes it's the way that you are, you know, the way that you are coming onto the pitch or what's happened in the game or whatever, you feel that drag sometimes, and then other times you're bang on it a lot quicker. So is there anything you can do around that might help?
Obviously a lot of people have kind of said over the years across different sports that they need a certain environment for them to really fire and perform at a high level, and and switching on that mindset. And it might be, as a fast bowler, it might be quite an aggressive mindset sometimes. Sometimes he might be trying to stay calm, but you do get the odd bowler who needs to create a bit of a fight really before they can really start flowing and get the ball coming out as they'd like to and start hitting the crease hard. So sometimes just a few words from someone or from the bowler in case or whoever it might be might fire up that individual and get them coming out of the blocks a little bit faster and get them hitting the straps. And I'm sure Gareth can think of a few over the years of the fast bowlers we've had in the English game who a little bit of winding them up is not a bad thing if you're on their team, because suddenly when they're in a fight, they commit so much more to what they're doing. And obviously it's understanding yourself and understanding if that's what works to you. But there were certain guys in, whether it's club cricket or first class cricket or international cricket, you know, there are certain guys that you want to kind of manage their mindset a little bit and keep them calm and keep them happy, because when they're nasty, you don't want to be stood at the other end.
Oh, crikey, you know, there's plenty. And I think there's one who's presently the number one bowler in Test cricket in the world that is a bit like that. You know, you can find a way of getting into his external competition motivation mode. Often journalists would do that for him, to be brutally honest, because they'd write something about Broadie or about the team, which he's passionate about. And then he would come out firing. So, you know, an example being when all the Aussies got stuck into him through the papers, wasn't it, before the series that we won down under. You know, he came out absolutely firing and doing his job. And then similarly, last year at Trent Bridge, you know, he got a lot of stick at Lord's. And then they went into games and he bowled absolutely magnificently. He took on the role when Jimmy Anderson went down. Can you remember that? Well, Jimmy Anderson went down with his injury. They said, right, what's this bowling attack got? He took an umbrage to that and then came out fighting, and it'd be a classic example of that. But there's been hundreds over the years. Again, it goes down to knowing your players, doesn't it? And it doesn't have to be the captain that does it. It could be anybody, really. Some people need to probably chill out a little bit more to perform their skills, and other people, you know, you get something going within them, and then all of a sudden the ball comes out with a bit of heat on it earlier in their spell.
Okay, next question is from Damo. Damo says, I'm a left-arm orthodox spinner and I formed the habit of undercutting and getting less turn off the pitch than I should with the amount of revs that I usually get. Try as I might, I can't seem to correct myself for any period of time. Can you give any advice on how I can get into a better habit of keeping the seam up so that the ball lands on the seam and rips better?
One of the things we've talked about recently with our spin bowling, and it's something that probably is relevant here, is how we use our rotation and how we get into a specific position by the point of release. So a really simple thing for you to do is just have a little examination of what position you're in by the time you're releasing the ball, and just have a little look at your hips and your shoulders, and just see how much they've rotated or how far they've rotated through to the point of release. So as a left arm orthodox spinner, what we're doing is we're trying to get that left leg or left hip driving through, so we get ideally those hips through to a square on position or maybe even a little bit beyond that, with a view to then getting those shoulders again square on or hopefully a little bit beyond, which gives us a better chance of getting over the top of the ball and getting some overspin and some forward spin on the ball, which is not only going to get the extra grip because the spin is travelling in the same direction as the ball is moving, but also it's going to give us that little bit of bounce. It's going to give us that little bit of dip prior to the bounce, and it's going to add quite a lot. So that'll be my first port of call. Have a little look at if you are getting that rotation to square or beyond. If you're not getting it, now we need to kind of start tracking back and working out why aren't we getting this body position which we would like to achieve. And obviously one of the key starting points for us is those feet. So have a look at your feet. How are they lined up? Are they in a position where they're closed off, or are they in a position where they're fairly open and those hips can transfer quite freely? From there, you can look at what your arms are doing. What's the path of that front arm? Is it encouraging some kind of rotational drive, or is it actually just pushing forwards or not pushing forwards at all and then not driving back? So I would be I'd be inclined to look at the alignment there, look at those hips, are they allowed to move freely, and then work out if those shoulders are trying to drive through, And all those things should be putting you in a pretty good position to get a little bit more overspin on the ball, where you're going to start getting that dip, bounce and spin all at the same time. Given that you have had it in the past, it, from what is what I'm guessing from your question, your grip's probably okay. So probably don't need to tinker around too much with that. But again, it might be something that we change along the line. But that's probably a good starting point for you to get going.
Have you seen anything else, Gareth, other than what we've discussed there?
Yeah, sometimes it can be the height of the arm as well, because if you think about it, and I'm sitting here with my left arm up, and if I drop my arm height a little bit, then I'm more likely to come underneath the ball, which sounds like it might be happening here a little bit. And obviously what that's going to do is that any rotation that I'm putting into it is going to be delivered in a fashion which is probably going to take the seam away from the pitch, and we'll start hitting different parts of the ball. So whilst it's still rotating, it's not going to dig into the pitch or not going to stay on the pitch for long enough in order to be able to impart anything other than the ball just sliding onto a right-handed batter. And we see that quite a lot. And then the second thing I'd do is I'd always get a cricket ball, and I would put white tape around a red cricket ball on the seam. So cover the seam up, and then get a video camera or somebody to video the ball flying through the air. And that can give you an indicator on what the alignment of the seam to the pitch is on its way out of the hand, also through the air and then down into the pitch. So you can look at that from any angle that you want. You can look at it from behind you, you can look at it from in front, you can look at it when the ball bounces, or you can look at it when the ball comes out of the hand. And that will give you a really good indicator on what your release position is like and what adjustments you could make to maybe arm height or maybe grip, as Sam talked about a little bit earlier, or maybe your release position being too early or too late, whichever the way, or maybe even the orientation of the ball in the hand, who knows. But it gives you a great bit of feedback. So we can't often see the seam. The seam doesn't really stand out that well from a video perspective. But if we put some tape along the seam, then we start to see that contrast, which gives us a brilliant bit of information. So that would always be my starting point. But action is the crucial thing, definitely. But what we're looking to do is put revs on the ball and get that ball to be coming out of the hand, and then more importantly landing against the pitch with the appropriate angle, and then all of a sudden that break off a wicket will be re-established.
It's time now for the soapbox. That is 1 minute on the clock and one Mark Garraway standing on his box and waiting for the time to start. Gareth, over to you.
I mean, as discussed earlier, the weather's been pretty good for the last couple of days. It sounds like it's been good in Scotland as well, which is highly unusual. But we've got sun going on. I've just come back from Spain, where it has been sunny, but it was blimmin' cold, much colder than any of us anticipated. Yet we got the Tom Maynard Academy and all the cricketers from the UK out on grass. And for the first 5 minutes, whilst they were doing their warm-ups, there was loads of moaning about how strong the wind was and how cold it was and all of that sort of thing. And as soon as they got into the practice, got to be able to bowl on grass in February, got to be able to compete against some batters and batters competing against some bowlers, all of a sudden, the last thing that there was on their mind was the cold and the wind and all of that sort of stuff, which was dominating their thoughts 5 or 6 minutes beforehand. So the point being is that we had no other option but to go outside and do that when we were out in Spain. So they had to get their mindset right. Can we, as coaches and as players, get outside a bit more often when it's not quite so comfortable, both in rain and both when we're in practicing in cold, to try and change that mindset and get some really good stuff out of our sessions?
And that is the end of the show for another week. We are just about to leave, but before we do, there is the little matter of the winner of this week's prize, the online coaching course from Pitch Vision at pitchvision.com. And the two questions on the table are Nimrat's question about starting better when he's bowling, and Damo's question about stopping himself from undercutting the ball as a left-arm spinner. Which one did you prefer this week, Gareth?
I'm going to go this week with Nimrat's question. I think as somebody who struggled for rhythm throughout my career, I found a little bit of a way through it when I was bowling in club cricket by getting myself ready. But hopefully a couple of tips there that we've given will help you to get more out of the first few balls of your spells.
Superb. Congratulations to you. And there's plenty of courses to choose from to help you out. And Gareth, if someone else was listening and they wanted to have their question answered and they wanted the chance to win the prize, how could they get in touch with the show to do exactly that?
They could give us a call on 0203 239 7543 or drop us a line at coach@pitchvision.com.
That's correct. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/pitchvisionacademy, and our Twitter is @pitchvisionacad. Lots of social media stuff going on there. And you can subscribe to this show every week by going to your favourite podcast app and doing a search for Pitch Vision Academy. You'll find us there and tap on the subscribe button. It doesn't matter what you use. You'll find us in most places and on most formats, tablet, PC, phone, whatever you use. And if you want to download the show, or you want to look at the show notes, or you just want to have a browse around the website generally, then you can do that by going to pitchvision.com/academy. Lots of stuff going on there, but if you want the podcast section, click on the podcast link and all the details are in there. That's all for this week. We hope you'll listen next week. But until then, have a good week. Cheers, Gareth. Cheers, Lavis.
Cheers, fellas.
Cheers, guys.